So, before I start, last couple of weeks I meant to do a bit of a shout out. We've got somebody who's been visiting our church every week for the last 3 months on live stream. And I found out about this a couple of weeks ago, so I just wanted to do a shout out to James. He's been coming his entire life, all 3 months of it. So I wanted to say, James, welcome to church. Great to have you joining us on live stream this morning. And please go to sleep. I assumed he would go to sleep during the sermon, but apparently he doesn't. So, James, listen to my voice and go to sleep. Anyway, great to have you here with us, joining us as we consider how we love our neighbour. Hopefully, it's a practical series that we've been going through. I've got some books up here that I want to get rid of in a moment. And so, just to introduce very quickly, with all of this series, we're thinking of our vision statement and the love of God that is the foundation on which we do things. It's on the foundation on how we're changed and become who we are becoming. But today, as we think about boundaries, and for a moment you might be going, boundaries, or you might be going, boundaries? Wherever you're at, just for a moment, trust me when I say, the thumbprint stands for our identity, growing in our identity in Christ as who we are as a person. That has to do with boundaries. Boundaries is understanding who you are, where you begin, where you end, what it is that you want to allow in, what it is that you don't want to allow into your lives. And so it's very much about who we are as a person. The second one is how we're growing as a community with our authentic connections with one another, real relationships. Boundaries is all over that. Boundaries is all over that. And then the other one is how it is that we walk with other people, bring God's love to the world around us. And boundaries is once again in that space. So boundaries. Boundaries became a really, really big thing, especially sort of when this book got written by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. Hands up if you've seen this book. Hands up if you've read it. Okay, there's a lot of seeing and not so much reading. Interesting. You set boundaries. You said, I've seen it, but I'm not going to read it. I'll say no to that book. Okay, so it is a book that got mixed reviews. As it highlighted that perhaps as people, we should say no to others at points, which is a topic of confusion amongst people who follow Jesus. You see, Jesus said, when somebody asks you to carry their cloak a mile, well, carry it 2 miles. It sort of sounds like Jesus is saying, don't have boundaries, don't have limits. And so I'm going to think about that a bit. There are some other books in the series. Now, I've got some books down here, and at the end, I might put them on the wavy desk in the foyer. And if you want to, you can borrow one of these books. I've only got one copy of Boundaries itself, but I think they decided that there was a whole market that could be exploited. Boundaries with kids. Now, just for a moment, you might decide that you might want to read this and find out what it is that you've done wrong. Or you might want to read it and find out what it is that your parents did wrong. Whichever way. So there's Boundary with Kids. It's a very helpful book. Another one is Boundaries Before Marriage. If you're thinking about marriage, that might be a book to read. Once again, it could be one that you might want to read after the event as well. But that's a very helpful book. They also have things like Boundaries in the Workplace. Number of different books around boundaries. I would recommend the Cloud and Townsend series of books if you were interested in learning more. Now, if you go to Google, which is our friend, and thanks for your honesty, Brother Michael, with music selection and ChatGPT, where I get all my good sermons from, you can go to the internet and you can type in boundaries with neighbours. And you'll get those sort of forums where people write in and they've got a question or a problem. And I just want to give you three. So if you're a bit unclear with what boundaries is, hopefully these three examples might clear it up for you. Sorry if the print's a little bit small. It's a bit small on my sheet, so I'll have a look here. The hot problem. I'm a recovering pathological people pleaser. Hand up if you're a recovering pathological people pleaser. Okay, so the rest of you aren't recovering. Sorry about that. Anyway, we've recently moved in next to a sweet, lonely, middle-aged woman with no boundaries. Oh, dear. Near enough, every time we go out into the garden with our daughter, she appears at the fence and will stand and talk to us pretty much indefinitely until either we go inside or her phone or doorbell rings, so she has no option but to leave. She also keeps giving us toys for our daughter, cakes and sweets, etc. She also suggested several times that she look after our daughter so we can have a break, which is kind but completely out of the question as we barely know her, which is interesting because she's been talking to them for hours. Anyway, it's just a lot, and I don't know how to assert some boundaries in a way that won't hurt her feelings and or cause animosity, which wouldn't be ideal as she lives right next door. Very grateful for any ideas. Can you see the problem? Part of the problem is there's a need to say no for my own sanity's sake, but how do I do that without hurting somebody? Because they don't want me to say no. Can you see the tension that arises with boundaries? The other one, it's smaller print but shorter. I used to have an older neighbour who was charming and friendly at first, but became very needy and intrusive later. Because at first I saw his frequent visits as friendly behaviour, I never set boundaries for what is acceptable. I paid the price later, and he got into a routine of invading my privacy in every way possible. Everyone has different definition of privacy and appropriate neighbour relations. These problems are common. Third and final one. And this one I included because the first one did as well a bit, but this one has a bit more to do with children and neighbours as well. Our next door neighbours have four children who are all really sweet. My daughter plays at their house or in their yard all the time, but the parents don't seem to have the same boundaries or parenting styles as I do. They come over to our house on their own every time we're outside, voiding any kind of family time. We like to enjoy a little peace of quiet and do not want that many kids over so often. So can you picture it? Every time they want to go outside with their daughter, they end up having five children to take care of instead of just spending time with their one child. I often feel obligated to let them play in our yard since my daughter is there so often, but when so many kids are at our house, I'm annoyed. How do I set clear boundaries without alienating our neighbours? Can you hear it again? How do I do it without upsetting somebody? That's the mystery and the problem that boundaries creates. One is where the boundary should be placed, but also how to do it in a way that is ultimately going to be helpful. Now, this is just a real introduction, and I know for some of you, you're advanced in the world of boundaries, and that's great. Some of you, though, this might be new, and so we're just starting with a broad sort of thing. But with those three pictures of neighbours with boundaries issues, that is very common, very common. Issues with boundaries often happens with neighbours, often happens with family, often happens with work, and often happens wherever two or more are gathered together. So church, or just where really any two or more are gathered together. It's a relationship thing. You have relationships, you have boundary issues. Now there's an image that we use for communion here at MacChat. I love that image. There's lots of food on the table, there's hands being held, there's communion, there's relationship, there's a sharing that's going on, there's an abundance that is there. But I don't know if we ever stop and think about what part boundaries are playing in that image. And it's worth thinking about. Is this a place where anybody is welcome? Is this a place where even those that I struggle with are welcome? Is this a place where I am welcome? What is it that I am expected to bring? What is it that somebody else is expected to bring? Or don't they have to bring anything? And if somebody else doesn't have to bring anything, do I have to bring anything? And so it goes on, and we can start to unravel the whole thing. And that's why this picture I find so beautiful is also so rare. Because relationships are tricky and hard. And this picture came up in my feed this week in social media, but to me, that's what we're shooting for. That's what Jesus is shooting for when he invites everybody to his table. He's not shooting for this. Now, the Lord's Supper has been in the news a little bit lately. Thank you to our French brothers and sisters. And this one came out where it's just Jesus by himself. You could think this is the Jesus who set really firm boundaries, quite clearly. But this is not what Jesus was shooting for. He wants people to come in. He wants people to come to the table. He wants communion. And he wants real, authentic connection. So what part does boundaries play in all that? Now, I said the Boundaries books had mixed reception from the church, from Christians, because some people felt that it was selfish to say no to somebody. I just want to highlight, and this is very much what our Bible reading this morning highlights, Jesus said no. Now, if you're not up to speed yet, God says no all the time. Have you noticed? Have you? The very first time I asked God anything, which was for a white pony, he said no. Did you get everything you asked for from God this week? No, you didn't. Unless maybe you don't ask for very much. God says no all the time. And Jesus did as well. And so that begs the question, why is it so hard for me as somebody who follows Jesus to find it so hard to say no? Or just for a moment, recognizing we're all coming from different spots, different places, maybe that's not your problem at all. Maybe your problem is that you can never say yes. Either way, they're two sides of the same coin. And getting to a healthy place doesn't mean you say no all the time. A healthy place is not saying yes all the time. It's finding out what is healthy and helpful and what it is that God might be directing us in that. So verses 12 to 13 this morning in our reading is an example of Jesus saying no. Jesus entered the temple courts, drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers, the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house. Whose house? You're very dynamic and interactive this morning. Whose house? His house. Who sets boundaries in their house? The person who owns the house. Jesus owns the house. He says, this isn't happening in my house. If you follow American basketball, it has a slightly different, you know, my house. But anyway. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer. That's what it's going to be. You want to make it a den of robbers. You want to rip people off. He says, no way. Not in my house. Mark 8:33 is another example of Jesus saying no and setting a boundary. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. What's Jesus doing? He's already clearly outlined, this is what is going to happen to me. This is whose life? My life. And I have chosen what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to do what the Father has asked me to do with it. And what does Peter do? No. You're not going to do that with your life. This is what you're going to do with your life. And Jesus very appropriately says no. Maybe the way he words it is a bit strong, but he appropriately says no. This is my life. And this is what my Father has set out for me. Jesus even does it with his own mother. Are you interested now? He says this. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to speak to you. I actually cut it down so I could fit it in one slide, but the bigger context is his mother was worried about him because he hadn't eaten. Now, what mother has ever worried about their boy, the fact that he hasn't eaten? Okay, so it's fairly common. And so Jesus sets a little bit of a boundary here. He says, replies to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Simply, these are my people, and it's appropriate that I am with them. I decide who I will, like, where I will spend my time, and I'll do what is appropriate to how I feel the Father is leading me. So Jesus did this. He says no all the time. There's things that he said no to the wind and the waves. Did you notice that? He said no to disciples who were self-seeking. He said no to religious leaders who judged others. He says no to demons who speak. He says he forbids them to speak. So Jesus says no all the time. And I have a question, because to me, at the heart of boundaries is this reality that is missed when we don't practice good, healthy boundaries. Jesus said no, that's a fact. But what does this tell us about his yes? What does Jesus' no tell us about his yes? He exercised his no, didn't he? He knew how to do a no. If he wanted to do a no, he did a no. That's who he was. But doesn't that tell you that his yes, oh, it's a yes. And isn't that significant and important? and helpful. Yeah. You see, the thing when boundaries get clouded, it means our no is not there when it should be. Our yes is not really a yes when it should be. There's confusion. It becomes a yes with an eye roll rather than just a yes, I'd love to. And so we have Jesus, whose yes surely is magnified by his ability to have a clear no. That's where boundaries get messy for us. We're not clear and it creates confusion. It makes it hard to love. Jesus said no, which meant that when he said yes, it meant the children really could come. There's no doubt about that. It means that the sick really can be healed in him because he said yes. Women really are equal, according to Jesus. The sinner really is forgiven. The cross really is worth it for him. The table really is for you. And Jesus really does want to eat with you and with me. Can you see how the no, the fact that that's true and clear, means the yes is true and clear? Henry Cloud says this about boundaries. He says, boundaries define us. They define what is me and what is not me. A boundary shows where I end and where someone else begins, leading me to a sense of ownership. Knowing what I am to own and take responsibility for actually gives me freedom. You might think not having boundaries is a way of freedom, but it's actually a way of slavery. It might take discernment. It might take some time and it might take some practice, but boundaries are a good, healthy thing. Now, just so that you're aware, boundaries are a learned thing and a practice thing. And so right now, if you're thinking, I can't do boundaries, I never have, you can. It's practice, it's learned behavior. Often we are doing boundaries the way boundaries were done in our family of origin. I also recognize that some of us come from cultures where boundaries are done very differently to maybe Australian culture or what have you. And so there may take a little bit more discernment on your part to know how to navigate that, though I would imagine that for some of us who have come from other cultures who've been here for any length of time, you're learning how boundaries are different across different cultures. But that idea of boundaries defining us, the most obvious and clear boundary is your skin. You have skin that signals to the whole world where your body physically ends and the rest of the world begins. If I go this way through the skin, I'm definitely in Dave territory. And so I have some basic boundaries that my skin provides. If you want to enter my skin boundary, you'll need a knife, and I am going to say no to that. I don't want you to do that. But the other thing is that boundaries don't always have to be where the physical boundary is. So you think of your house and you have a fence that goes around it, and that fence is there to keep maybe your dog in and maybe to keep a robber or a burglar out. But whether or not it's to keep your in-laws out is another question. Whether it's to keep your neighbour out is another question as well. And so there's discernment that is required. So think of personal space. Your skin is a physical boundary, but it doesn't mean that I can just come up to you at morning tea and just go right up against you and so that we're like this. That's creepy and weird, isn't it? Unless for some people it's not creepy and weird. For your spouse, hopefully it's not creepy and weird if they do that. And so there's this space. On a train, somebody's coughing and spluttering and they come right up to you. And they're not wearing a mask, and they're right here, and they're coughing and spluttering. That's not okay, is it? We say no to that, want more space, and we might step back to say, I want to increase the boundary. So what I want you to hear here is that there is discernment required. That even with a physical boundary like the fence of your house, that doesn't necessarily automatically mean that nobody can come through. But it is, at some level, yours to decide who does. And that takes discernment. Brené Brown says that there is a cost if we don't do this. If we don't think this through, she says this, when we fail to set boundaries and hold other people accountable, we feel used and mistreated. Because suddenly people are in our personal space when we don't want them to be, and we're not comfortable. The clarity that is required to make these things clear is actually helpful and can help us from feeling as though we're being taken advantage of. And so we practice our no, so our yes can truly be a yes. That's one of the catchphrases from Boundaries. That's the whole thing with looking at Jesus' no and understanding that his no actually makes a difference to his yes. If your boundaries are very poor, it won't make a lot of difference whether it's a no or a yes. Practice your no so that your yes can be a true yes. So, a couple of practical things, because this is about loving our neighbour in a practical way. This is a hard one to do practically. One of those websites that had those questions and was answering those questions, it actually came up with a list of practical things that you could do or think about in setting boundaries with your neighbour. And so it has these things, for example. A borrowing policy. Now, just for a moment, I've said there, don't be afraid to communicate clearly. It may or may not be appropriate or helpful for you to communicate it to the other person, but it may be very helpful for you to communicate it to yourself. Okay? And so when it comes to a borrowing policy, just say your neighbour comes over, alrighty-o, I'm thinking of tool time. Do you remember tool time with Wilson, the neighbour? Anyway, Wilson comes over, can I borrow a drill, Tim? Tim says, yeah, gives him a power drill. Okay, it's helpful for Tim to know whether he has just lent Wilson a power tool for a day, for a week, a month, a year, a decade, or forever. It's helpful for him to know, right? Now, whether or not he needs to communicate that to Wilson is going to depend on a few things. If he needs his drill tomorrow, he might say, you can borrow it today, but I really would need it by tomorrow. Is that going to fit with you? I have some extra drills. I collect drills. I collect power tools. Why? So that when our neighbour comes and says, can I borrow your drill? Which I might add, I think I'm still waiting for that day to happen so I can get rid of some drills. I can go, here's a drill. And I don't have to say anything because if it doesn't come back, that doesn't worry me. But I know that because I've discerned it and communicated it within me. Accepting mail or packages. Since COVID, we have a lot more things being delivered. And there's also a lot more strangeness around whether or not, like a lot of people leave packages with very expensive things in, they take a photo of it so they can go, see, I left it at your door. Who knows whether they took the photo and then took the package with them. But anyway, they leave things. So it's helpful sometimes to have a neighbour who will actually collect packages for you so they're not left on your doorstep. But that is something I don't know if any of us are happy with our neighbours just taking that upon themselves, or do you think it's a good idea to just go and do that to your neighbour and have them stress out and ring the police when you've got their package all along? Communication is a helpful thing. Parties, loud noises, they're actually different. This article made that clear. And I thought, yes, they are. We don't have parties at our place, but every now and again I go to my shed, I put on Cold Chisel really loudly, and I pretend I'm Ian Moss and play guitar really loud. It's not a party. Well, I'm having a party. But there can be loud noises. Privacy, just where we each set that level of privacy with those who are next door to us is different. And so communicating that, discerning it yourself, what you're comfortable with, and then when appropriate, communicating it can be helpful. And lastly there is friends or not friends. Because they're your neighbour, they might live next door to you, it doesn't mean they have to be your best friend. In fact, what is it that would determine whether you would want them as a best friend? Now, I don't know about you, but there are certain people who I want in my life, in my close inner circle. They have certain characteristics. They're faithful. They're loving. They're interested in me. They listen to me. They also share things with me. There's a whole lot of mutuality there for them to be in my inner circle. Living next door to me is actually not really high up on that list. Now, the interesting thing is I need to know that and have some clarity around that myself, don't I? But if I was to decide that the person next to me, it has all those things that I want in a friend, then that's okay, that's not a problem. But if they don't, that's okay as well. Once again, it's discerning our own personal space. So I know somebody who in their life, with their friends, their close friends, they have a pretty high standard. And it's not because they're sort of I actually think they're very wise, because if you look at their close group of friends, you can see how their close group of friends really help them in life. Really strong, helpful support. That's because they've set a sort of standard, a bar, as to who is going to be that close inner circle. That's very different to just loving and accepting everybody. But we need to understand and know that within ourselves. So I want to finish with the last slide and hopefully come down into something that's just helpful for us as we go away. I want to encourage you then this week and through the rest of your life indeed. Where did the last slide go? Oh dear. Can you get the last slide for me, Cindy? Don't know where it went. The last slide has a bunch of things to stop and discern. Here we go. I'd encourage you, when it comes to boundaries, to stop and discern before it becomes an issue. To escape that reality of things becoming an issue because you haven't been clear, because you maybe haven't even thought about it. Stop and discern what it is that is helpful to discern before it's an issue, and that takes time. It takes time to stop and to think. There's a couple of ways that that looks like. One might be to sit and actually think about what it looks like to say yes in a particular situation. You've got new neighbours moving in. You've got some questions around what that relationship might look like around certain aspects, possibly because of what the last neighbour was like. And you want to sit down and think about what yes might look like or what no might look like in certain situations. I encouraged you last week when we were looking at Sam Chan's book to think about, because he was like inviting his neighbours to meals. And it's like, whoa, sit down and think about that. Think about it for an individual neighbour. If I asked that neighbour, if I asked Fred and asked Cherry for dinner, what would that look like? And to sit down and think that through. What would that look like? What sort of people are they? And what is it that might be helpful to communicate? Fred and Cherry, we'd like to have your dinner Tuesday night. Just the one Tuesday night. Like, if clarity helps, do that. Consider your inner reality as well, the dynamics within you. Sometimes our gut is telling us things, but we don't stop and listen. Sometimes there's red flags. Our neighbour has set off a bunch of red flags in us. We feel a little bit sick. We're not sure why. Spend time with that and maybe see if you can determine or discern what it is that those red flags are, because that might be really helpful in moving forward. Listen to God's voice in all of this. Sometimes in God's wisdom, He will be able to help you or protect you or to help you, encourage you to open up. Consult the wise. I've discovered that as being a grandfather now, that there are certain things with being a granddad that could be helpful to have talked to other grandfathers about, so as to think through some of those things of what that is like. And be brave. If no is what you find really hard to say, or indeed if yes is what you find really hard to say, be brave. Find out what God might want you to say and be brave. And that can be hard. I know there was a time in my life where I hadn't, with close family, I had never, ever set a boundary. I'd never said no. And the first time to do that took a lot of courage. You may have an ingrained relationship pattern with a neighbour where you've never said no out of fear. Fear is a real thing. It'll take courage to say no. But that leads me to the last and final point, and that is to practice and practice and practice. One of the things that Cloud and Townsend make really clear in the book Boundaries is this. The first time that you practice setting a boundary is probably not going to go well. Why? Well, there's two reasons, I think. One, the person that you just said no to is not used to you saying no. And so they might flip out a little bit. Dave, you always say yes. What's going on? you don't love me anymore. There could be all sorts of behavior ramped up. But the other thing is because you're not practiced at saying it. And so you usually say it poorly. And that's just the unpracticed way things happen. And so that's the reason for practice and practice and practice. They say the first time it's probably not going to go well, but it's better than not having tried to do it at all. So that leads us, as we finish this morning, an opportunity for you this week. What relationships, what boundaries do you need to discern this week so that you can love others well? Please note that this is not about coming to a point where you can just say no. This is coming to a point where your yes can really be a yes. So what is it that you need to discern this week? I encourage you to spend some time with God. I'd love to pray for you as you do that. And if you are all over boundaries and you're just, that's, you're a finely tuned boundary machine, I hope this morning has still been helpful for you. But I'd like to pray for all of us with healthy relationships this week. Let me pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus and his example as somebody who was able to say no and yet was also able to say yes. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to know ourselves well. Lord, that we might have wisdom to discern where we need to say no and we need to say yes. Lord, I recognize some people here this morning. I think all of us probably have at least some relationships in our life that are difficult because of boundary issues. Lord, I ask that you would help us to discern a way forward. Lord, give us wisdom. Help us to know what it is that we are feeling. Also, what it is or where it is that you might be leading. Help us to take time where that might be helpful, but also be with us in those moments where we need to think about our boundaries very quickly, perhaps. Give us wisdom in those moments as well. Lord, we recognize that all of this is not just a part of us being selfish, but is a part of us being loving. And so we pray, Lord, that as we perhaps, some of us maybe exercise a no for the first time, help us not to get stuck in the no place. Help us to be able to move to the yes place as well. And Lord, just this week, with those that you bring before us, help us to see them the way that you see them, to love them the way that you love them. Pray that you would help us and strengthen us and empower us and equip us to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.